After the largest mass shooting at a Texas church last Sunday, piecing together what happened and who the shooter was has revealed a gaping hole in federal gun laws. Senators Jeff Flake of Arizona and Martin Heinrich of New Mexico now say they're working together to close that. Here's Senator Heinrich speaking to us yesterday.
This was an individual who, by any measure, should have never been able to buy a firearm with the kind of criminal background that should not be able to buy a firearm, and yet did not get flagged in that process.
The bill is called Domestic Violence Loophole Closure Act. It would prevent troops convicted of domestic violence from acquiring firearms by sending any military domestic abuse charges to the National Instant Criminal Background Checks, or the NICS system, hopefully closing any loopholes between civilian and military lives. But there are other gun law loopholes, like the so-called boyfriend loophole. If someone is convicted of domestic abuse, they won't be able to buy a gun, but only for people who are or were married, have a child together, or are cohabitating. Boyfriends don't have any penalties in this realm. Dr. Daniel Webster is the director of the Center for Gun Policy and Research at Johns Hopkins. Daily, his research deals with intimate partner violence and gun laws. So we asked him about the various ways people can skirt domestic abuse gun laws.
There are two different ways that there are loopholes. One is we have both federal and in most states prohibitions for people under restraining orders for domestic violence from having firearms. But in federal law and in many states, the boyfriend-girlfriend relationship is not covered. The other aspect of a so-called boyfriend loophole pertains to misdemeanor crimes of violence. Under federal law, anyone convicted of a domestic battery misdemeanor offense is prohibited from having firearms. And the problem is that in many jurisdictions, and appears to be the case in the military as well, those offenses are not always flagged as domestic violence as opposed to any other type of assault. It appears as though there's some breakdowns based upon available evidence right now. I think we're going to be learning a lot more in the coming days when people come forward with more information. But preliminary information right now suggests that this case in the Texas church shooter is probably not an anomaly. It's not like, one case slipped through the cracks. It appears as though there's something more systemic that needs to get fixed. And the question is, what can be done now without new legislation? And could we be more certain and do a better job with a new piece of legislation as being proposed right now?
Senators Flake and Heinrich, their position is that it's illogical that this type of information isn't already being shared. Do you have any idea why a, quote, loophole like this one exists?
I think there's no justification for it. I think it's a travesty, really. This is something that it's not a new issue. This is an issue that's been talked about for at least a decade with some of the problems in getting these records into the background check systems for the FBI to check. So this is a fixable problem, and apparently people have not felt enough heat to fix it internally within the Department of Defense or legislatively that Congress sort of forces their hand.
Well, how difficult would it actually be to coordinate between jurisdictions, such as, very importantly in this case, the military, mm-hmm. and the FBI? How difficult is it to coordinate this information?
Look, I haven't been in the belly of the beast of those bureaucracies. However, the Department of Defense is submitting information to the FBI's background checks for dishonorable discharges when they occur. So there's clearly a capability for the Department of Defense to send records to the FBI's and their databases. So this is something that should be able to be fixed. If there aren't clear procedures, they can be written. Again, I think it's a matter of finding out who's accountable here, and I suspect that there's something that can be done short of legislation, but once we get all the information, we'll have a better sense of, okay, what is needed to ensure, and this is the important part, ensure an accountability process. So each and every record that disqualifies a dangerous person for having a firearm is in the system for it to work.
Dr. Webster, if this, as you say, is an easy fix, then politically, how difficult or how easy is it to actually make it happen? As we've seen, any legislation that has to do with gun laws is just a very difficult pass.
So I acknowledge that anything related to guns is going to be controversial. I beg to differ, though, as it relates to this particular issue. In actually fairly Republican states, through the state legislatures, have been passing laws in recent years that address current loopholes that previously had been allowing domestic violence offenders to get guns. I don't think that their elected officials want to be on record as not taking action to protect victims of domestic violence. And I think throughout the country we are disgusted and offended by what happened, what was able to happen that enabled this young man to obtain the weapons that he did through a licensed gun shop because of failures in the system and in our policy. So there are certain gun issues that are very controversial. They're going to be hard. You know, talk about assault weapons or regulating civilian gun carrying. Those are really difficult political challenging issues. But I think when it comes to very specific policies to keep guns out of the hands of people we've already determined by our law are too dangerous to have them, I think that's politically doable.
Well, Dr. Webster, thank you for sharing your expertise and for your time.
Sure. Thank you.